Everyone, this morning it's time to begin our worship service. We'll be singing Songs to Remember, number 6. They're located in the end of the pews there for you, if you will. Turn to an old song that is called What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Would you stand on this in reverence to our Lord? What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Number 31. Number 43, and we got some folks helping us out on late. Come on.
Thank you. Thank everybody for the good singing this morning. Glad to see each and every one out today. We are thankful that we have several visitors with us today. We want you to make yourself right at home with us today in our service. Old friends back here slipped in on us today. I think the term was they broke their daughter out of a class this weekend. And so we're glad to have our old friends back with us today. And so we're thankful for them. And we're just thankful that everybody has made their way out to the house of the Lord today. I hope and pray that we will come together in a good spiritual way, looking for the blessings of God and looking to lift up God's name today is what I hope we can do in this service. And we just pray that we will do that today and just honor our Lord today. That's one thing that I'm afraid that many times in our churches today, they forget to honor the Lord the way we should. And so I want us today to try to make a special point that during this time we would thank God. If nothing else, we thank God for His blessings is what I want us to do in this service. And we appreciate each and every one coming out today. We hope you've been blessed all this week. As you know, I've been in a revival effort meeting up at Monville Missionary Baptist Church, and it's been kind of a slow week. They haven't had any loss there. Crowds have been low, but it's a small church. But it's been some good preaching this week, and I didn't do that. I left that to them other guys that are helping in the meeting. So it's been a blessing to be with some of our brethren this week. First time I've got to work with Brother Stephen Brooks in a long, long time, and I've enjoyed that a lot this week. We've talked, we've reminisced a little bit. He told his calling to preach just a year or two before I did. And when I started out my study of the Bible, we started going to a Bible study together. So he and I got to be really close during that time. And it's been a blessing for me just to kind of get to reminisce with Brother Stephen once again. And so I've enjoyed that this week, but being in the presence of God is where the great blessings are. And so that's what I want us to do today in this service. We're glad to have everybody here. We're going to go on with our service. As usual, we'll do our children's church at this time. Brother Sam, you're going to this side over here. Come on, kids. Come up this way, if you would.
Y'all are a bright-looking bunch. Are you ready for school to start back? No, you got some more summer to enjoy, right? That's right. All right. Well, I won't keep you long. I know you're busy. I've checked all of your schedule. You believe that, don't you? You know, one of the most important things that we have here when we come and meet is the Lord to be with us. One of the most important things. Another important thing that we have is the songs that we sing, and it helps set the tone. But one of the most important things that we have is the Word, you know. And with the help of the Lord today, we'll hear the Word preached. I know y'all have been studying parables sometime this summer, right? So what's a parable? What is it? A story with meanings. Did you say two meanings? Yeah, that's right. It can have different meanings. One of my favorites is the parable of the sower. Y'all remember studying that, Matthew 13? You know what a sower is? Not knitting and sowing with the needle. But a farmer sows. He sows seeds, right? So that parable says, a sower went forth to sow. And he had a bag on his side, and he would grab it and just throw it. Okay? Just letting the seed fall where it may, and let it have a chance to grow. And it said, there was four situations that the Lord told this parable that happened to that seed. And the first one was, it said it fell by the wayside. And guess what happened? The birds in the air and other animals came along and just ate the seed, and it didn't grow. Okay? And it also says that, you know, some of the seed fell among, you know, stony places where there wasn't much earth, and it didn't have a chance to grow. You know, didn't hardly have a chance to germinate, which is the process it becomes a plant. The third one says that it fell among thorns and thistles. A thorn in a thistle is like a weed, okay? And so it's sitting there and it's soaking up nutrients that normally a crop would have the opportunity to do. So it takes away from the seed. So it choked it out. And so that seed didn't have a chance to grow. But the fourth one is the best one, and I like that. It said it fell into good ground, and it grew, and it prospered. And so as we think about that real quick, you know, and I'm sure that Brother Ricky or any other preacher, when they get up in the pulpit, he doesn't have to look in his bag of seed that he's throwing. It's all good. It all has a chance to germinate. It all has a chance to hit the seed in the heart of the individual. But it's how that individuals hear that and deal with it.
Amen.
That has a chance. And if you look at the ratio, what's a ratio? Y'all don't know what a ratio is. You'll learn about that. But out of the four situations, only one of them had a chance. So that's a quarter. That's a fourth. So if you look at the sheer numbers of that, a very small number of the people that hear the gospel will take it to be true and to be saved. The Lord backed that up when he talked about the wide gate and the narrow gate, that few there be that find it. My prayer is that everybody that comes in here has a good dose of seed put into their ground, into their heart, and they believe it to be true, that nobody will ever leave this sanctuary without being saved.
Amen.
That's what we hope. And I hope that that's a nice little parable, and we'll think about that. The parable of the sower. And I trust maybe that the Lord is sowing seed in somebody's heart today. And that it's receptive of that. That it's receptive of the truth. Because without the truth, we don't have anything. I love y'all. And I'm praying for you. And y'all can stand now and be dismissed and enjoy the rest of your summer while you have a few days left. Let's go. We got a schedule to keep.
Appreciate Brother Sam doing the children's church for us, and we need to be prayerful for our children, that they will come more to the knowledge of the Word of God. And that's the purpose of bringing it down to their level, is where that they can start to develop a love for God, for His Word, and for His church. Being in church, in other words. I think that's something we talked about in Sunday school this morning, and we need to have a better love for one another, but we also need to have a better love for our church.
Amen.
And so let's keep that in mind today. I do have a thank you card here today. It says, a little note of thanks, and it's to our church family. Many thank yous to those of you who prayed for Amanda and our family during her surgery and recovery. Those prayers carried us through a difficult time. Thank you for every text, call, and food. It was so much appreciated. God is so good. We love you all. And that's the Ryan family and the West family. And it's good to see Sister Annette back with us today. Been taking care of her daughter during this surgery time. And I'm just thankful that she's able to be back with us. And I hope Amanda will be able to come to church before too long also. It's good when we are able to pray for one another. And I appreciate our church joining in. We posted it at different times to the church about different needs. And we get responses for that. But if you don't respond, at least pray. And that's the main thing we need you to do, is pray. I posted the other day about Sister Nettie's husband, Bob, and we need to be prayerful for him. Pray that the Lord would help him in this time. He's back in the hospital, actually in ICU. They carried him yesterday, and he's got some problems again. Never did get out of the rehab unit, so he's just getting weaker and weaker. So pray for him. Pray for Sister Nettie as she is being troubled by these things. So pray that everything will go well for them during this time. Does anybody else have a prayer request before we go to the Lord in prayer this morning? I'd like to say we appreciate each and every one being here today. We had several prayer requests during Sunday school for sick ones. Remember the revivals that are going on. Some churches have seen different ones saved. One church had six to get saved, and that's good news. And that's a blessing, six like us. Now, I hadn't heard if they've had any more, but let's pray that they'll see more, and let's pray that every one of these revivals, there'll be more starting tonight. This is what we call revival season in this area, and we need to be praying that the Lord will bless our churches with people being saved, that they'll be blessed with the privilege of seeing people saved. You know yourself, when you go through a drought or a time without seeing people saved, it gets lonesome in the church. People kind of get discouraged in those things. We don't ever need to get discouraged because our God is a great God. And He's willing to save. And He can save anywhere. And that's great. I'm glad He does. But it does us good when we see people saved inside of our church houses. So we need to remember them in our prayers. Let's remember our different ones that are not saved that comes here. Let's be prayerful for them. They could get saved today. So let's keep them on our hearts today. Anybody else got a prayer request on your heart? Lord help. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, let's remember these requests. Somebody else. Lord, here. Lord, here. Lord, here. Lord, help. Let's do remember this also. Somebody else. I'd like to say we appreciate everyone being here, and as we said earlier, we appreciate all of our visitors being here today. Make yourself right at home with us is our heart's desire. In other words, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you worship the Lord. That's what you're supposed to be. That's what we're supposed to be doing, is worshiping the Lord today. If there's no other prayer request, yes, ma'am. Yeah, we do need to remember Sister Mona. She did have surgery the other day. Somebody else. Brother John, will you, Brother John Paul, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Let's turn to number 88. Number 88, My God is Real. Good to see Brother Conyer and all the family this morning. God bless. Let's sing. Stay right there, and we'll sing number 89. Where could I go? Number 94 will be our last song this morning. It's been worth it all. Number 94.
I hope everyone has enjoyed the good singing this morning. The good old songs is what I like to call them, good old hymns, if you want to call it that. I've enjoyed them greatly this week, and we're just thankful for the singing, for Brother Key leading, Sister Shirley playing, and for all of you singing. That makes it sound so much better. Not that Brother Key don't sound good, but everybody else, that helps out. I had to pick on you a little bit, didn't I? I hadn't had a chance to this week, so it is good to see each and every one here today. Again, we're glad to have our visitors with us. Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart before we get started? I always feel like we ought to follow the Lord, and we want you to do so today. So with that being said, let's be turn to the 49th chapter of the book of Psalms, the 49th chapter of the book of Psalms. And I ask that you pray for me today that this message will be what the Lord would have it to be. And we just want to be prayerful about this, that it'll be what God would have it to be today. In this 49th chapter of the book of Psalms, and it says it is one of the songs or that Korah is the best way to pronounce it, wrote. Not all the Psalms were written by David. Many times people give credit to David for every one of them. But this one was by a man by the name of Korah, and what he says and what we're going to start our reading lesson with is verse 8 today. And it says, "For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others." Now, I want to back up and say that brutish person right there, that's a word we don't use anymore, but what it actually means that they're kind of, the word, stupid. They don't have much learning about things. But these people will perish also, it says, and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their house shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They shall call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This is their way and their folly. Yet their prosperity approved their saying. Shalah, and that means pause. In other words, they just paused in the song. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Salah. In other words, pause again. That's reading for our reading lesson, verses 8 through 15 of the 49th chapter of the book of Psalms. This song was written, and as you might say, it may be a little bit of a grim subject in some ways to many people. But it is a fact of nature that all men will die. It is appointed, according to Job, I believe it's the 7th chapter of Job, it is appointed unto men a time in this world, a time that they will die. We have a promise that is made to us that we do not have the promise of tomorrow, according to the Scripture. That is something that we need to keep in mind. A lot of people will look at that idea and they do not want their children to ever experience anything about death. I've went to funerals where that people who had lost maybe their grandparent, and I'm talking about children of age, and I'll say young teenage children, were not allowed to go to the funeral. They were not allowed to go to the funeral home to view their grandparent. In other words, they just started missing them. Death is something that comes upon every individual. It's a promised thing. We have that promise because that man sinned in the beginning. A lot of people ask the question, well, why does this happen? Why does that happen? Why does the world get so bad? And why is these things happening in our world today? Well, it's because of sin. Yes, Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, and that brought death upon all of mankind. But the sins that followed after that, we have nobody to blame but ourselves. When we sin, it's our fault, and it brings about different types of what I would call destructions in our lives, penalties in our lives, and because of that, we have the ways of our world today. We wonder sometimes, why does the hurricanes come? Well, I believe it's because of sin. Why do the tornadoes strike? Not necessarily the places where they live or the people that it struck were people that were more evil than anybody else, but just the fact that God is trying to get our attention that our life is a short life span. I believe it was Job that said about life, it is like the grass that grows up, it flowereth, and then it's cut down and it withereth away. In other words, it has a time span in its life, for it. The same thing goes for us in our lives. Now, why is it important for us to understand that death is coming to all of us? This is a subject that is throughout the Bible about death, about how death is coming. It is therefore a reason, and the reason is so that we might, first of all, be expecting something to happen to each and every one of us, that death will come. Now, death is no respecter of a person according to the Scripture. It doesn't matter, according to what we had in our reading lesson, whether it's a person that is very smart or whether they're just people that has a good knowledge or even somebody that's just very foolish, death is coming to all men. It also talks about those who has great wealth, maybe even great honor, you might say. We have seen in times past how that, we'll just take this county right here. There was a Rutherford man that came into this area, and they named this county after him. Well, that is kind of an unusual thing in that it has lasted, his name has lasted this long, because most of the time, when people pass away, only those that remember them, that's about how long their names last, truthfully. Now, I've got some ancestors that I can trace back, and I have a knowledge of their history in my ancestry, but their names have passed away. In other words, it doesn't matter how high or how mighty you might be. Yes, we remember many of the presidents of this United States, but how many of you can name every single one of them? I can't. I forget about so many things. What he's telling us is our time is limited in this world today. Now, as we tend to look at these things, I want you to notice two different things here, especially the last verse that we read in the 15th verse. It says, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, and he shall receive me. Now, what that word redeem means is that he has paid the price for us. He has paid a ransom for his people. For those that have believed and trusted in him, he has redeemed them. He has paid for them. He has paid the price that there is. We heard a good message up at Mobile this week from Brother Carter as he preached, I believe it's in the fifth chapter or sixth chapter of the book of Romans, how that the penalty of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life. And what he says here in this verse is he has redeemed us and that he will deliver us and he will receive us. Now, this is the general direction I thought I was going, first of all, on this message, but the Lord led different because I want us to realize that once that you have died in trespasses and sin, I want you to realize there is a life after death. Many people today, and it's a common thing for individuals in this world to believe that it is once you die, that's all there is. Now, I think they would rather think that their dogs and cats and their pets live on forever, and they themselves, that's just the end of it. But the fact of the matter is, there is a life after death, even for those that are unsaved. Now, what I would say about the one part of this, yes, we talk about everlasting life for all of us that are saved. But as I understand it, for those that are unsaved, it's not a life. It's an existence. It calls it a life in the portals of hell, but the fact of the matter is, it is an existence in that place. And what that means is, it is a place of destruction. It is a place of misery. It is a place in which that there is suffering from pain and agony. How many of us today have seen individuals in their families who were sick? They was maybe downtrodden by cancer or by heart disease, and they were in their final days, and they were just suffering so much. A friend of ours that we heard about the other day was working outside and built a fire, and he was stoking it up and tripped and fell face first into the fire. Now, I've got enough knowledge about what a burning feels like. That's painful to do that. I can remember getting burned different times in my life. So after death, for those that are sinners in the sight of God, God is going to put them into that place where that they have chosen to go. Notice I said chosen. It's up to the individuals to come to the Lord in repentance and faith, seeking God, seeking the salvation of Jesus Christ. But at that point of death, for us that are saved, and this was the words of the wisest man. I'm not going to talk about the entire verse other than to say that Solomon was talking about how that we grow old in our lifetime. Some of you already gotten to the place where your hair is white. It's gray. And you are in the latter days, as we would call it, of our life. We may even be stooped over, as it talks about in this verse. And we may be living our life in that way. And there comes a time in her life, and what he says in this 12th chapter in the 5th verse of Ecclesiastes, he says, because the man goeth to his long home. Now, there is two places where that individuals go in their lifetime, after their lifetime. That is as the old preachers used to call it, it's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Now, shun means to push it away, to go away from it, to try to go around it if you possibly can. Now, Jesus put it in this way. He said, for straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life eternal. Remember I told you it was a life? It is eternal life, that long home that we're talking about today. It is a place in which that we, as saved individuals, we look forward to, don't you? How many of you has ever heard somebody talk about, well, I'm looking forward to going to my heavenly home? I tell you what, I do. I look forward to it. As Brother Jerry said at church the other night, there's times I get homesick for my heavenly home. You know, the troubles and trials of this world, yeah, we get downhearted, don't we? We start to thinking about some of the sicknesses of our life, and we get downhearted, and we start feeling like, well, I'd just like to go home. But I like the words of Paul in the book of Philippians when he said, for me to live, it is gain. And what he meant for Christ, it was for him to live for Christ. It was gain for everyone that lives for Christ. It is gain for Christ's good. But he said, for me to die, it is for me. Oh, that is for me the best thing that it is. I also like the words that he used in the book of Corinthians, for he says in the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he said, for we know that if this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Do you realize today that if you've been saved by the grace of God, God has promised you a house. Now, I'm looking forward to my house. It's going to be a house that has no pain in it. There's no sadness and no sorrow. You know, many times I look at my life, and I believe I do pretty good as far as my life is concerned. I'm not what I would call a sad person. There's not a lot of things that really makes me sad, but I'll tell you one thing that does make me sad, and that's when I look at those that are unsaved and they seemingly care not for their soul. That makes me sad. And when I preach to them about Christ and about his goodness and about his promise, and they seemingly care, truthfully, that makes me sad. But up there, there'll be no more sadness in that place. You know, what he says about we have no more pain, no more sorrow, all of those things are passed away because we're in that new house. For if in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our house which is from heaven. Now, generally, we think about that house being a mansion, right? We talk about where Jesus said in the 14th chapter of John, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions, is what he said. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you, is what he said. And he said, if it's not so, I would not have told you. God is a God that cannot lie. Jesus is God and he cannot lie. So he has promised us a place up there. But listen to what he's saying. We desire to be clothed upon the house which is from heaven. If you'll read down a little bit more, what he's actually talking about is our soul, our body. You realize today that when we die, yeah, we get put in the grave like it talked about over there in that 49th chapter of the book of Psalms. You know, he talked about how that they go into the grave and their beauty would go away. You know, they've been some people that was really pretty in this world, right? But when death comes and they're put in the grave, they do just like us ugly folks, don't they? They go back to the dust of the earth is what they do. Yeah, you know, in that day of the resurrection is what the scripture tells us. In the day of the resurrection, we'll gain a new body. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians, Paul doing the speaking, he said, we'll be changed in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, and we'll be caught up to be with the Lord. That's what he's talking about here. Now, go on down just a little bit where he says in the sixth verse, he said, therefore, we are always confident, knowing whilst we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. Remember what I said about Paul a while ago? While we're here on this earth, well, he says we're absent from the Lord. Well, I tell you what, the Lord's always near us, isn't he? He's always close to us. But when we get up to heaven, we're not going to be absent from the Lord. He's going to be right beside us completely. You remember what it said about Adam and Eve in that day? That in the cool of the day, the Lord came down and he communed with them. I want you to understand something. When Adam and Eve sinned, that union, that communion that they have, that opportunity to walk with mankind was lost. And that's what Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He wants us to be able to commune with him in that day where we can be in the presence of God is what he's wanting us to do. But listen, we are confident, he said. I tell you what, I'm just as confident that I'm going to heaven when I die just as if I was already there. I played Brother Sam a song here a couple weeks ago that's definitely one of my favorite songs. And in that song it says, I've never been to heaven, but my name's already there. You know why it's there? Because it said that our names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it's already there. And that's why I have confidence that I'm going to be able to enjoy the presence of God, that I'm going to be clothed with that house after my death. I'm going to be able to enjoy that to the very fullest of all of the things that are. And not only me, but everyone else. Listen to the words of Paul in 2 Timothy in the 4th chapter. This is familiar scriptures to a lot of you, but some of you it may not be that familiar. But what he says in the 6th verse, he was coming down to the latter days of his life. He'd been in prison for preaching the gospel for several years. He only had a few people that was allowed to come in and out. And old King Nero, or Caesar Nero, he was about ready to have enough of Paul's preaching. And what the scripture or what history tells us that he had already said he was going to come in and cut Paul's head off. But he said, Paul said, telling Timothy, for I am now ready to be offered. I'm ready now to be offered. And that's what way Paul looked at it. He had preached. He had lived for the Lord since the day that he was saved. And he said, I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. What departure was he talking about? He was talking about the time of his death. Listen to what he says. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Have you done the same thing? Have you fought a good fight for the Lord today? What about last week? What about the last several weeks? What are you going to do in the next several weeks that you have? I hope and pray today that if you haven't been fighting a good fight, you'll start right now. If you ever watch, and most people, I guess, these days don't like to watch a boxing match, or a wrestling match, or one of these, I don't know what they call the other ones, the ones where they use the judo and or karate or whatever, and they fight in that way. Have you ever watched one of them? He'll stand there, and he'll take several punches, and then finally it just seems like it something clicks. It's time to fight. And boy, they start in on that other feller. That's the way we need to be. It's time to fight because time is drawing nigh on us. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, he said. I have kept the faith. He said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day. Well, that was Paul, right? No, there's more to that. He said, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. What is he talking about? Those that are looking forward to the day when the Lord will call us home, to where we'll be clothed together with the Lord. We'll have that glorified body that is likened to that of the Son of God. That day when we have no more pain or sorrow. That day in which that we are enjoying the glory of the Lord forever and evermore. I look forward to that. But he said, in that day, we all get that crown. A crown of righteousness. You know what that crown of righteousness is? It's a reward for all of us who have been saved. I believe it is. Even the very least saved individual there is. You know what I'm talking about? You know that person that got saved and they turned around and basically went back to their old ways. They still got that salvation. They were confident in their salvation, but they started living not the way they should, and they've done very little for God, is what I'll say. They still get a crown. I believe they'll lose a lot of rewards, though, according to the Scripture. So what I'm telling you today is, death is coming, but there is a reward for those that are saved. Now, there is a penalty for those that are unsaved, as I said earlier. Keep that in mind. But it is meant for you today to keep it to your heart and mind that if you're a sinner in the sight of God, that if you want the joy of God in your heart, first of all, then the joy of being one of God's children, second of all, and thirdly, being able to look forward to the glory of God and being in His presence, not only for just a day, but forevermore, it's time to to seek him out. You need to seek him. You need to pray to him. You need to talk to him about your situation. You need to come to him with a repentant heart, turning your heart away from that sin of unbelief. I'm not talking about that sin of lie you did last week. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the things you stole. Yeah, it's good to repent of those things, but the sin that will separate you from the love of God more is the fact that you don't believe God. That's what he's wanting out of you today. That's the where you'll get your reward and your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Brother Keith, that's going to be our message today. I'm thankful today that I know that I'm saved. I've got confidence to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I've got that kind of confidence just as sure as if I was already there. How about you? Do you have that kind of confidence? You know, I see a lot of people today, when you talk to them and they're bashful about it. You know, you ask them about different things. Oh, they can talk your head over about a certain subject. Know them kind? But you get them off on another subject that they're not real sure about it, well, they back up on it and they sit back and they listen. I do that a lot because I don't know a lot of different subjects, but I can tell you some things and I can talk to you about them. But I'll tell you where my main confidence is. It's in Jesus Christ and his saving power for my soul and the promise that he has given to me. That's where real confidence comes. Do you have that kind of confidence today? While we stand and sing, I want you to think about it. Not only think about it, but I want you to do something about it. You need to start talking to God about it. There's nothing that no man, no woman, no preacher, nobody on this earth can do to save your soul, but Jesus Christ is the one that will save you. Turn to him. He is the only one that can. While we sing.
234. Number 234. Would you stand?